Continue to pray now as Elder Sonny Phelan speaks to us. Brother Phelan's from Malvern, Arkansas, and pastors Harmony Church in Donaldson, Arkansas.
I count it a great blessing and a privilege to be here again at the church. Hang on to my watch. I know that's important. Thankful for your pastor and for being at this meeting and for the blessings we've already seen during the course of this meeting, for the young sister that came forward last night. And seeing Brother Ronald last night as y'all were singing that final song and shaking hands, and he was looking out across the congregation, and it looked to me like a shepherd that had found the flock where he needed to be, and I'm very thankful for that for him and for this church as well. And I appreciated so much what Brother Lonnie said last night. So he was so happy to see Brother Ronald here. And that is a wonderful reflection of a minister when he leaves a flock and he wants to see that flock taken care of. I think that's the attitude that we should have when we leave a church, and a beautiful reflection of somebody who loves a people and feels that the Lord has led him to another flock, as the apostle said, that I've planted, Apollos has watered, but God giveth the increase, that we are laborers together in God's vineyard. And I'm thankful to see that Brother Lonnie has a good place now, and the Lord has blessed him. And I'll try to remember what he said last night about Brother Bradley when he got some information about young preachers, and that is, don't stand too long in front of Brother Bradley. And I feel the same way this morning. Don't stand too long in front of Brother Hunt, because I know you're anxious to hear him this morning. But we trust that our time will be taken very well as we stand before you this morning. Many years ago, John F. Kennedy, in one of his speeches, said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but rather ask what you can do for your country." What a difference it would make in our country if everybody had that attitude. If we looked around us and we saw that people were going around the streets and saying, not how I might get on the welfare program, not what the country is going to give to me, but they were saying, what can I do for this country? The Lord willing, this morning, I want to speak to you on the subject of Christian maturity. Christian maturity. And the word that I want to use this morning as we're talking about Christian maturity is the word minister. Minister. I believe when we see Christians that are mature, we see Christians that are ministering one to another. We see people that are asking what they can do for the Lord's people. Several weeks ago, we were preaching a series of messages on a balanced church, and I was talking to our church about ministering one to another. And I gave the quote of John F. Kennedy, and I asked him to substitute in that particular phrase the word church. Ask not what your church can do for you, but rather ask what you can do for your church. Ask him to substitute the word pastor. Ask not what your pastor can do for you, but rather ask what you can do for your pastor. Even member. Ask not what your member can do for you, but rather ask what you can do for the members. This particular message was very well received by our church. Well, Lord willing, this morning, if you have your Bibles, I want to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 10. I'm not going to preach on John F. Kennedy's speech, but I wanted to use that as an example of how we can be ministers one to another in God's house. I've been pastoring for a few years in churches. It seemed to me like there was just something missing among our congregation. It seemed like there was something that I wanted to lay my hands on, but I just couldn't touch it. There's something there that I felt like that we needed to be doing as a church, and a lot of times ministers are always cracking the whip and trying to get people to do something, but there's something here in the Word of God that tells me something that we should be doing, and that is the word minister. In Mark chapter 10, I'm going to read verses 42 through 45. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, now these are the apostles when they were having the argument about who was going to be the greatest and who wanted to sit on his right hand. And he said, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them, but so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be the servant of all, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Ever since I've been a member of the church, I've always heard it said that we want to emulate the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to become more like him. Well, what is it if we become like the Lord Jesus Christ? What was Jesus like? When you think of Jesus Christ, what is your perspective of what he was like? Somebody might say, well, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ was holy, harmless, and undefiled. He was a man that lived without sin in his life. Well, I believe that's a part of trying to be a Christian, is trying to live without sin. But you know, there's more to it than that. We could lock ourselves in a closet, and we could be like some of the Pharisees in the days of Jesus Christ and not even get out and do anything and lock ourselves in this dark closet and say, I don't want to do any sinning. I don't want to see anybody out on the road or anything, look at any sign or any billboard or read anything or look at any picture or anything that might cause me to think an unholy thought. In Unger's dictionary, it talks about the Pharisees and how that there were different orders of Pharisees. There was a stumbling Pharisee that walked around and he was always trying to keep from looking at things and he would stumble over steps. There was the bleeding Pharisee, and he was doing the same thing, trying to keep from sin, and he would be walking along and bump his head on something and start bleeding. And so he was a bleeding Pharisee, and they were all being these Pharisees, and they were trying to keep themselves holy and pure. They had their little gates around the law. They'd made excuses for things that they could justify in their own lives, but when it came right down to it, they were in this little compartment in their lives. I don't think being a Christian, living a Christian life, means we're supposed to get in this little compartment and we're not supposed to have anything to do with anybody else. So being like Christ is more than being holy. That, of course, is a part of it. We should try to live a holy and a righteous life. What about knowledge? Somebody might say, well, I think that being like Jesus is just having knowledge. Knowledge is good. You know, preachers are teachers. They're to teach knowledge to God's people. But there is more to being like Jesus Christ than having knowledge. Vance Havner made a statement one time. He said, we can be as straight as a gun barrel doctrinally, but just as empty spiritually. It is possible for us to know all of the doctrines, to know everything that the church principles the church stands for, but yet when it comes to real spirituality, to being a Christian, we can be very empty when it comes right down to it. You know, that was another problem that Jesus Christ had with the Pharisees. While they knew the law, they could recite the law. They would stand on the corners of the streets, and they had the law even written on these little things and attached around their clothing. And people would walk by and they'd be standing on one corner and they'd be praying these long, pretentious prayers. I don't know how long they could stand on one foot, but they were trying to let everybody know how righteous and holy they were. They could recite the law. They memorized the law. The scribes wrote the law. But yet Jesus said, ye are whited sepulchers. They weren't like the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know somebody might be saying, well, you're a preacher and you're telling me that we're not supposed to know the doctrine. You're telling me that we're not supposed to memorize the scriptures. You're telling me that we're not supposed to have any knowledge concerning the Lord and concerning the Bible. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's more to Christianity than just knowledge. I've got something in the Bible here that Spurgeon said. He said, if you make doctrine the main thing, you're very likely to grow narrow-minded. If you make your own experience the main thing, you will become gloomy and critical of others. If you make ordinances the main thing, you will apt to grow merely formal. But you can never make too much of the living Jesus Christ. Remember that all things else are for his sake. Doctrines and ordinances are the planets, but Christ is the sun. Get to love him best of all. Now, what is ministry? Somebody might be saying, well, you're telling us to be ministers. Now, what is that anyway? Somebody might have in their mind, well, if I'm going to be a minister, if I'm going to minister to people, then it means I've got to pack up my suitcase and head to some place out in the remote darkness of some wilderness, and I'm supposed to be a minister by doing that. Well, Jesus Christ, when we see that the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many, we find that he was among people. He was among sinners. He walked among sinners. He preached among sinners. He lived among sinners. The holy, harmless, and undefiled one lived there among sinful people. He didn't pack his bag and go off to some remote place, but he was among people. Let me tell you what ministering is. Let me just give you a little scripture here that I think can give us a good point of what ministry is. And it's very simple. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 10 and verse 42, Jesus said, "And whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." Ministry. Ministry is something as simple as giving somebody a drink of cool water. We minister in our homes when we minister to our wives and our husbands. My wife is a wonderful minister to me. And some people make fun of me because I don't know where anything is in the kitchen. But she does take good care of me, I'll say that. But a lot of times, she'll leave me a little note in the morning and say, "I love you, I hope you have a good day." That's ministering. Sometimes she'll bring me a cup of coffee in the morning. And she'll have it sitting up there and say a little note there. That's ministering. You see, when we're talking about ministry, sometimes we get in our minds that it's this big, complicated thing. That this is something that only these preachers are supposed to be doing and nobody else can do it. That there's something there that preachers can only do. They can only study the Word. They can only preach. And that's the only thing there is to ministry. But let me tell you, ministering is through the whole Word of God. The New Testament is full of ministers, which we're going to see in just a moment. That God's people are identified by their ministry and what things that they are doing. Yes, doctrine is important. Knowledge is important. The ministering reflects what's in the heart. Pharisees had a lot of knowledge. They had a lot of doctrine. But where was their heart? Jesus said, "You bind heavy burdens upon men, but you will not with one of your little fingers lift one of those burdens." They would not minister to anybody. So ministering is not complicated. When we started talking about in our church, I was so thankful to see the response that our church had to the subject of ministering. And some of the wives would come in on Sunday morning and say, "My husband left me a cup of coffee. They left me a note." And they begin to minister in their families with one another. And some of the little children, sometimes you think they're not picking up on the things that you're preaching. And so one of the deacon's wives came to church and she said, "My daughter Deb, she was cutting her husband's hair. And the kids came in there and they said, 'Mommy, you're ministering to Daddy.'" So, you see how that ministering takes a different approach when you start seeing how simple that it can be when we minister one to another. In 1 Peter 4:18, there's something about ministering that I hope I leave you with this morning if I leave you with nothing else. And that is this. That every person in the church as a minister. Excuse me, 1 Peter 4:8. Peter writes, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves." Ah, here's the foundation for our ministry. "For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Listen. If you're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, you are a minister. There are a lot of gifts in the New Testament church, but every member of the church has the gift of ministry. Every one of us. I ordained every one of our members to be ministers on that Sunday morning. I said, "I ordain you. Every one of you are ministers in God's house. Go out and minister one to another. Start praying that the Lord will open doors, that you can minister to the members of this church, to your family, and whoever the Lord may bring you in contact with." So the preacher can't do it all. He can't do it all. I'd love to do it all, but I can't do it all. I had a lady, the sister of the church, that had some surgery, and I had to work on that day. And I did everything in the world to get off on that particular Sunday so that I could go over and be with the family for a while. And I couldn't make it, and I really felt bad about it. I know these ministers know when you want to be somewhere and you cannot be there. You feel so responsible. Couldn't be there. But anyway, after the surgery was all over with, somebody called and said, "Sister Henrietta came over," and she sat with me during that time. And I said, "Thank the Lord. They're picking up on this. They're all ministering one to another." See, as members of the church, you can go over yourself. There are things that the minister is, you know, can be doing or should be doing, but as members of the congregation, you yourself can be doing ministering. We're talking about church maturity. We're talking about people growing up. We're talking about getting to a point that we're not asking what the church can do for me. We're not asking what the pastor can do for me. We're not asking what the members can do for me. We're talking about what we can do for one another. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 when he said, "I have fed you with milk, but you have need of meat." There are some people there that he needed to preach some things to, and he knew that they needed some meat, but he was preaching some milk to them, but he wanted them to grow up in Christ, that they would quit their bickering, and the Lord, they'd be able to see the Lord in their lives. What a blessing it would make there. And even among God's people, when we start thinking, you know, this thing is not, the world's not revolving around me. That's one thing I tell some of my teenagers is when they start asking for things, I say, look, the world does not revolve around you. You are a part of it, but it's not revolving around you. And sometimes we can come to God's house and we can be thinking, well, this whole thing just revolving around me. You know, this preacher's not really everywhere he's supposed to be doing. I don't know if these other preachers ever have that problem or not, but sometimes I get a little complaint here and there. I'll hear it somewhere that I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not exactly everywhere I'm supposed to be all the time. And I have determined in my mind when anybody tells me that if they're at church every Sunday like I am, then I'll start listening to them. But until they make that step, I give myself a little leeway here. I gave our church a little acronym when I was talking about being ministers in the church. And you might remember this morning. I don't know how many of them remembered it or not. But the acronym I gave them was the estimated time of arrival. And I told them that we have not arrived until we've become ministers in the church. That when we learn to minister to one another, then we might say that we have arrived. The word, the letter E in our acronym stands for experience. What have you experienced in your life? If you want to be a minister, there's something that you're good at when you minister to other people. And the thing that you are best at is the thing you enjoy the most. It's the thing that you have had experience in. Maybe you've had an experience with a bad marriage. I can tell you if you've gone through that, then you would be very experienced to help somebody else out that's going through that. Maybe you've had a problem with one of your children and you've gone through that. Maybe you've had a child that's been on drugs. Maybe you've been through something like that. I can tell you, you have some experience that you can use, that you can minister to somebody else. A few days ago, my wife was talking to a lady that's at the school where she teaches. And she's of another order of faith, and she was talking to Marilyn about the problems that she'd been through with her family. And she said, I'm just thankful that I had somebody that I could share this with. She said, in my church, I could not share this problem with anybody because if I told them, they would use it against us, and there is no telling what would happen. I thought, my goodness, are we really Christians? Can we really bear our burdens with one another? Can we unleash our souls and say, I'm having this problem in my family. I'm having this problem in my marriage. I'm having this problem I'm dealing with. Is there's nobody in God's house that can minister to our needs? One thing I like about the Lord Jesus Christ, I can tell him anything I want to, and I know he's going to still love me even though I tell him. But beloved, I'm talking about being a Christian. I'm talking about ministering to one another in God's house, being able to bear one another's burdens and go to them and say, I'm not perfect. I need somebody in the church I can talk to. Now, the Pharisees wouldn't lift their little finger to help one another. I need the ministry to talk to. There's some times that I need to talk to other preachers because there are some struggles that I face in my ministry. There's some mistakes I've made in the ministry, and I need to say, look, I've made this mistake. I've said something I shouldn't have said. I may have offended a brother. Tell me how to handle this problem in the church. I need these brethren. I need my fathers in the ministry to be able to talk to them. These men that have been at this a lot longer than I have, I don't have all the answers. And I'll tell you, Satan knows how to get some kinks in the church. And sometimes you don't know how to unravel these things. You need some information from some of these other men. Experience. Moms and dads can offer a lot of experience when their children are growing up. I've heard some people say, just get them out of the home and forget about them, and they won't ever come back. Let me tell you, a mom and dad are always giving advice to their children, no matter how old you get. I still like going to my mother and getting some advice. Sometimes she still tans my hide with it, but I still like to hear what she's got to say. I hope that I can grow up and be a father that can continue to minister to my children. They can come to me for some words of wisdom from time to time. The acronym experience, the next one is T for time. T for time. Some people may not have enough time to minister to others. You may be a mother and you may have 5 kids. Now, I wouldn't expect as much from a person that's tied up in their home to go out and minister as I would to somebody that had a lot of free time. I think it's important for moms and dads to focus and have a priority in their life. I've seen mothers who had children at home and didn't focus upon their home, and they were so involved in everybody else's problems. there's the neighbor's problems, and there's cousin so-and-so's problems, and they're over there trying to minister to all these people, and I'm seeing in their own house that things are falling apart. Their kids are going places they shouldn't be going. They're watching things they shouldn't be watching. They've got the internet on. They're looking at things they shouldn't be looking at, and all around them, things are going to shambles in their own home. Indeed, it's a noble thing to minister, but beloved, God does have a priority in our lives when it comes to ministry. And I believe our home should be first. A mother's home should be first. A father's home should be first. But the Lord blesses us with time in our lives to use, and I believe in every one of our lives that there is some time. You may say, well, I really don't have time to go out into all the world and do all the ministering out there, but I tell you, you've got some time in your home. You know, you could leave your wife a note. You may say, well, I really don't feel like leaving her a note. She hasn't been too nice to me lately. Leave her a note, she might be nice. And the acronym's the O, by the way. In an airport, you won't see the O. ETA is all you'll see there, but our acronym has an O, and that has to do with opportunity. Opportunity. Opportunity to minister one to another. Remember the Good Samaritan that Brother Lacerre spoke on last night? Spoken of as a Good Samaritan. He was going along, and there was a man left half dead. And I don't know exactly what half dead means, but he was in bad shape. And so here comes the priest by, and the priest passed by on the other side. He knew the Bible. He knew the scriptures. He knew the doctrine. He knew everything there was to know, but yet he missed out on something, and that was ministry. Remember when Jesus spoke this parable, he was talking to a lawyer who was tempting him. And he wanted to know what he could do to receive eternal life. And again, the Lord saying, if you've got eternal life, there's some love in your heart. And there's a desire to do some ministering there. And so here he passes by on the other side, and here comes a Levite who was right under the Aaronical order of priesthood. And you'd think if the priest didn't do it, surely this Levite's going to. He passes by on the other side as well. He sees this man over there. Well, I'm going to the temple. I don't want to be defiled. This man might be dead. By the way, there was a law there that you couldn't touch a dead body. So I'm going up there to preach, and I don't want to get over and messed up with these folks. Well, just look at the situation that person's in. Who knows where he came from anyway? He shouldn't have been going down to Jericho anyway. He's going the wrong direction. He doesn't even deserve my help. Preaching on that at Vestavia Church a few years ago. And I was preaching on mercy and ministering to people. And I was preaching on the subject of Good Samaritan. And I noticed there were three people in the front row, and they were just eating it up. They were just receiving a real blessing, I thought, from that sermon. And I was talking about how we ought to help people, even though they don't deserve it. You know, the Lord helps us, and I sure hope that he wouldn't help me because I deserved it, because I'd never get any help. That's what mercy is all about. But anyway, after the service was over, they came up and they said, we were looking for a handout, and we came to the church services, and y'all got singing and everything before we got to talk to you, and we just happened to be in the services. And I thought, well, okay, we need to do what we've been preaching. So we got our billfolds out, and we helped them out. I don't know, there may have been angels there that night to check us out to see if we were going to do what we were preaching. But we sent them on their way, and the Lord tried us in our message. But did you notice something about the Good Samaritan? The person that he helped was right in his pathway, wasn't he? Going right along, and before you know it, there's somebody laying there half dead, and he has the opportunity. Some people came in the pharmacy the other day. It's been about 6 months ago, and they were wanting a handout. And it wasn't the first time they'd been in there, and I wanted just to give them that scripture, if he doesn't work, shouldn't eat. And I wanted to say, look, you're not working, you don't need to be eating, I don't want to give you anything. And it was one of the few times I did that. I told them that. And I sent them on their way. I tell you what, I've felt so guilty about that since that time. I was thinking, who knows what they came up in. Maybe their father was a drug addict. Maybe their mother was a who knows what. They may have not even had an example. This may be all they ever know. They may not know what it means to work. And here I am, and I've got these assets here. All I had, it wouldn't have been anything for me to have given them some money for gas. I tell you, the Lord convicted my heart. Here I am preaching on ministry and not even doing it myself. You know, that's what we do sometimes. We preach and we don't do. That's what the Pharisees did. You say and you do not. That's what the Lord said about the Pharisees. Opportunity. God will open up an opportunity for ministration. It may be in your own home, your own family. You may have a child that needs you to talk to them. You may have a child that needs some of your time that you can minister. That's part of ministering. It's not going out in some strange place. You can do it right in your own backyard. And finally, the word A for assets. What do you have? What do you have you can give? You have some time? Give it. You have some place where you can offer your time? Give it. That's ministering. You may have some money like those that the apostle writes over in 1 Timothy. I was at a lady's house one night, and she was a very wealthy lady. And she said, well, what can I do to help the church out? Well, you know, there's a lot of things that came to my mind, but I knew how wealthy that she was. But I didn't want to say anything about money. I said, well, you could be praying for us, and et cetera, and et cetera. She said, well, I've been giving a lot of money to the Humane Society. And she listed a long list of things. And I thought, oh, God. 1 Timothy 6, 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. Here the apostle is encouraging those who do have money to minister to those who do not have money. As a matter of fact, when you look at the word ministry in the New Testament, a lot of times it's talking about giving of our carnal things. It's talking about giving money. That's ministering. You may have a lot of money this morning. You can minister with that money. The Lord will open doors in your pathway of life. As I read the New Testament, I find that there are a lot of ministers that are listed in the New Testament. We don't have time to go to all of them. If you've got your Bibles, well, turn with me to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 16, notice all of the ministers that are mentioned here in Romans. I love this Hall of Fame. This is the minister's Hall of Fame. This isn't we got a faith Hall of Fame. This is the ministering Hall of Fame. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. Here's a sister. She's a minister. She's doing something. Somebody said the sisters aren't supposed to be doing anything. I beg your pardon. Here's one that is a minister. We've got some sisters in our church that are a great blessing to me. And we've got some Phoebes there that have helped me do some things that I could never do. We got one sister that is she's retired now, and she wanted to do something in God's house. And she has volunteered to help with the tapes. She makes all the tapes. We take a little tape ministry. We mail them all out to all the members that are shut-ins and anybody who wants a tape. And she comes down there one day a week and devotes one day of her time to God's house. What a difference that would make if every member of the church devoted one day to God's house. I told Brother Bradley the other day, I said, if you had that many people ministering and helping you out, well, we'd evangelize the whole world if he had that many people there in the machinery helping him get those tapes out and doing his work. Speaks of those that you receive her, and the Lord has become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of, for she hath been a succor, and many, myself also, great Priscilla and Aquila, ministers. The church was in their home. Look at all these other names that are mentioned. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. That's ministering, bestowing labor on one another. But you can read this whole chapter and you see all the ministers that are mentioned here. You look over in the scriptures and you find that there were those that ministered to the Lord Jesus Christ. I love to read about Mary and those that says that they ministered to him of their substance. That's where the word is found. They ministered to him and whatever he had need of. The Lord didn't have a place to lay his head. He didn't have a home to live in. How did he get around in this earth anyway during the time of his earthly ministry? There were people ministering to him. They provided him a home, food, shelter, clothing, everything he needed. They were taking care of him. They were ministering to him. You find that even the angels ministered to the Lord Jesus Christ after his temptation in the wilderness. Over in the book of Mark chapter 1, you might say, well, how did angels minister to the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't know everything they did. Perhaps words of encouragement. I don't know what they did. But I'll tell you, they were ministering to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were ministering servants. That's what an angel is. When the Lord mentions those that are coming, that are going to heaven, over mentioned in Matthew 25 last night, where he speaks to those who said, come, you blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. How did he identify those people? By their ministry. By the way they lived their life. You visited me in prison. You fed me when I was hungry. You gave me something to drink. They were identified by their ministry. And to close with this thought, that Jesus said, as much as you've done it unto one of these, my little ones, you've done it unto me. A cup of coffee, a drink of water, a dollar bill, whatever you can do. When you have that in your mind, what a difference it makes. It may be somebody you don't like. You may have somebody that has a need that you don't like. Well, here's your opportunity to heap coals of fire on their head and bring them to a place that you can find peace with them and you can minister to them and say, I'm doing it to Jesus. What a difference that makes in the motivation that we have when we recognize we're doing it to the Lord Himself. I appreciate getting to be here and the opportunity to speak to you about ministering. I like what Alexander the Great said. I think it was China when he looked over China. He said, there lies a sleeping giant. There lies a sleeping giant among many of God's churches. When people rise up and they say, there's more to this than just knowing something. Ministry. May God add His blessings to you is our prayer.